I walked by the Target Center entrance a little bit after Judd did and thought, wow, there's like dozens of, I mean, the skyways are jammed. There's a buzz here. Everyone's excited early on today for the Wolves, and they realize, oh, there's like 8 boxes of free donuts in the skyway.
Yeah,
I still think
really
people
good.
Are excited, but it was mostly the free donuts.
Free food.
Right. Yeah. Gets people every time.
All in the
free food.
We get things rolling with the opening bell.
Want to ring the bell?
Jimmy Butler has been sent, reunited with his former coach Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota. In the deal, Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and the number 7 pick go to Chicago.
The lob up top, Butler with the punch from Teague. Makes a little noise here to start the second half.
We gotta replace that.
I mean, if things go wrong, if they go bad, let's bring it back. But for now, it has to be changed.
Actually, could we? You know, we could put like a. Oh, this is insensitive. I'm not gonna say it. Okay, well, we could put like a gunshot at the end of that one if things go really, really bad this season.
I still like the.
Let's get a more upbeat.
It's
howl,
the screeching
though.
Car. Yeah. You get the screeching car, and then the.
Maybe that would be better. Like, combine that with
a
car wreck sounder if things go bad this season.
That's 13 years of howling to try to get into the postseason.
It's weathered. It's a weathered howl.
That is to the ghost of J.R. Ryder and Christian Laettner. And now let's start going down the more recent list.
Nikola Pekovic's ankle.
Yes, that is.
Or foot or whatever it was.
That is what that is. So the Wolves open tonight against the Jazz at home. And I will say this for all of the sports fans in this town who love to say, cheap poll ads, cheap local teams. We never do a thing. We never get any players. They all sign with the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers, and they sign with the Heat. Tonight is an exciting night.
Yes.
Jimmy Butler, acquired in, as you heard there, a draft night trade, makes his Wolves home debut. And I would argue that in our time, both our times following sports in this town, this is one of the rare nights where you have what you can safely call a star player debuting for your team, either having come in here via trade or having signed with the club.
So you posed the question via email last night. We were kicking some stuff around, and I think one of the you named other teams. You said, what about the Twins? Like, when's the last time? And honestly, it was 2 months ago. There was a buzz for Bartolo Colon.
Oh, right. But
just because it was more of a novelty buzz for Bartolo Colon.
Right. Being fat and jolly does not qualify as being good.
Right. Now, he had the year before, if you would have traded for Bartolo Colon, it would have been this legit starting pitcher, 43 years old, but legit. But you're right. It does feel like, I mean, it really, they're calling it a new era, and it truly is a new era, and that you have, for the second time, they've tweaked the uniforms before, but you've got brand new uniforms, brand new arena redone. You've got brand new roster as of last year, brand new people running the organization. So there are some parallels to 20 years ago when Flip Saunders took over as the coach and Kevin McHale was the general manager and Kevin Garnett was a top 5 draft pick. And then Stephon Marbury came in and then they changed the uniforms and they changed the court and they embarked on what wound up being about a decade of regular season success and one good postseason run. Mm-hmm. It feels like that, but with more upside almost, because Kevin Garnett was really your only featured piece for about a decade. You thought early on Stephon Marbury. Now you have easily 3 featured pieces. One of them is already, at the beginning of this run, an established 7-year veteran in the NBA, and Karl-Anthony Towns might be an MVP candidate sooner than later. So there are some parallels, and this does feel like one of the most exciting beginnings in Minnesota sports in a long time, despite the loss to the Spurs.
I think the feeling is different this time, too, because that Wolves team was emerging from the expansion. Oh, we're just really bad for a while because we're an expansion team. And then they sort of grew up and they made the right moves for a while, and that was exciting. This is interesting because after 13 years, you're trying to re-engage a fan base that gave up on you.
Right.
Like, this is not going from expansion to, okay, now's our time for success. This is going from expansion, you had success, you fell off the map. I mean, on the sports scene, you were nobody. And now this is the first time, and it's been coming now the last couple of years or so, but this is the first time where you are really grabbing people back and saying, there is a compelling reason to come back to our product. That doesn't mean that you're not going to follow the Wild or buy Vikings tickets, but that does mean that for the first time in a long time, we have a case to at least get your dollar.
Yeah, I mean, the Wolves haven't really captured the Twin Cities since 2004, 2005-ish. I think going into the season after the playoff run, there was still some buzz and some excitement. You knew that maybe you missed your chance the year before, but it's been 15 years since the place we're at right now, Target Center and Mayo Clinic Square, captured the Twin Cities. The baton has been passed around. The Twins were relevant for a while. The Vikings are always going to be the team to watch in this town, but it's fun. By the way, we're streaming on Facebook right now, correct?
Fenske, oh, is that Facebook? Fenske streaming on Facebook?
Facebook.com/1500ESPN, and we have all kinds of content, Facebook, Instagram, etc.
So most exciting debuts for a veteran brought in by a team in this town, the Vikings is 1A, 1B, 1C, Favre 2009, without a doubt.
Yes.
The Wild is simple, too. Parisian Suter signed on July 4th, 2012. There was a lockout, debuted, I think, in January of 2013.
So you had to wait then.
You did have to wait,
yeah.
But that's theirs. To me, this is the biggest debut of a veteran either signed or traded for the Wolves. And honestly...
And that's disrespect to Kevin Martin, but okay, you know, you can hold that opinion if you want.
Am I wrong, though? Am I wrong in saying the Twins was John Smiley? Like, Shannon Stewart, you traded for...
Was there buzz for John Smiley? I mean, he was good pitcher.
No, there definitely was, because Morris won you the World Series,
yeah.
And then you thought he was coming back, and he bolted for the Blue Jays.
So we're talking off-season move?
Yes,
or?
Yeah. So Shannon Stewart wouldn't count because, okay,
I mean, because Matt
might help.
Capps drew tons of excitement in 2010 when the... No, he didn't.
I'm trying to think. The Twins is the one that... The Twins is the one that honestly had me stumped.
Jason Marquis...
This is, I'm right then.
Kevin Correa? The list isn't exactly extensive.
Was Pelf a big one? Josh Willingham?
I mean, Josh... Oh, you know what? Actually, it's not on the level of Jimmy Butler, but I think the Jim Thome acquisition was going into 2010, and you knew you were going to have a good team, and then they added Jim Thome
to
the roster.
Example. Yes.
But that was more like... New stadium excitement, and team just went to the playoffs the previous year excitement, and Joe Mauer just won the MVP award excitement, and then you add Jim Thome to the top.
And he's
this is more like this team has been bottom of the barrel for 15 years, 12 years.
Yes.
And now it's going to be flipped if all goes according to plan.
Where the Suter Parisi signings, the Favre signing, and this move to me have a similarity, Phil, is this. They seem like... You're on the diving board, and you say, I'm going in. Like, Jim Thome supplemented, and you're like, okay, he can come in and probably help us,
yeah.
Help the team. But this move strikes me as, should we go all in? Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. We'll get to plenty more Wolves. Taj Gibson's going to join later on here. We are inside Mayo Clinic Square Skyway until 1 o'clock. And we'll also get an update on the renovations and what you can expect if you're a fan and you're going to come to Target Center for the first time. You know, what does... I was just talking to... one of my buddies from college is now a marketing hire up for the Wolves, and we were just talking in the Skyway here, and even he's saying, man, like, he was away for 5 years, came back to the organization, and just... Everything, it's amazing what natural sunlight will even do for the concourses and the food. It's no longer just like stale nachos and hot dogs. Like, you can get legitimate food now at Target Center.
And dark and dreary.
Right. So we'll
And losses and losses and losses.
Yeah. So we'll get an update on that. But some interesting AL Central news went down yesterday.
The ball was down the middle. Don't wave me off. You call the ball game.
Right, somebody got tossed.
I think that was Guardy. Yep.
Ron Gardenhire, and I heard Dave's update. I just saw this come across Twitter. It's now official. The Tigers have called a noon press conference to introduce Ron Gardenhire as their new manager. Lavelle tweeted that Rick Anderson, he's hearing Rick Anderson is going to come back. They're going to dust off Rick Anderson. He's going to be the pitching coach.
Are we getting the band back together in
Motown? Is he going to bring all of them back, like Scotty Alger? Are we going to dust off all the assistant coaches in Detroit?
Okay, so what would be his dream Twins coaching staff to bring back?
Scotty Alger.
At first base, right?
Or anywhere. He's literally coached every
single... Ricky
Anderson,
his pitching coach.
Doug Minkiewicz?
Third base coach?
Bench coach? I don't know. I think there's a fighting chance Doug Minkiewicz winds up on the staff.
I did see a report last night that saying what one of the selling points that Gardy gave Detroit was, I have really adapted to the times, and sabermetrics are now, I'm a big fan.
No, he didn't say that. It wasn't quite that aggressive. He said he is now open to sabermetrics. Okay. Which is like saying, you know, I'm open to high-def TVs.
Okay.
I'm open to smartphones
I'm
now.
Saying what he should have said then. I'm a big fan of analytics. Bring them on. Give me all the matchups.
I got good news for Twins fans. And I think Gardenhire deserves a second chance if he has evolved. I love Ron Gardenhire. If he hasn't evolved, this is a guaranteed 5-year stretch of dormancy for the Tigers. Like they're already going to
be
fighting
already.
The roster
they're
tide.
Bad already, yeah.
I mean they sold off Justin Verlander, JD Martinez, so they're in rebuilding mode.
Yes.
This is either a bridge manager to when they become good in 4 or 5 years, or they're going to make some moves this offseason, maybe they're going to add some payroll back, but if Ron Gardenhire hasn't evolved from where he was when the Twins let him go 4 years ago, it's good news for the Twins that they're going to play these Tigers 20
analytics,
times a year.
Analytics, he's all in, baby.
Open to analytics. You know, I am open to getting rid of my flip phone. I'm open to it. I'll listen on these iPhones
now. Thank you, Chris Long. Although I will say this, Gardy, I was very glad to see that the news that he was going to take this job, because I do think, and I'm not joking here, it saves his health. Because he had interviewed for the Boston job. Now, I think Alex Cora is going to get that job. But nonetheless, that would have been the worst fit in the history for his health and purposes. When the Diamondbacks came here in August, Gardenhire looked in great shape. He had lost a ton of weight. His face was not beet red. Yeah. He looked really healthy. Boston would have been the absolute worst place. So this at least puts him in an environment where there will be pressure, but nothing like he would have found. And can you imagine him with all those reporters in Boston? And the tabloids,
and the
radio stations that are there every single day, basically browbeating.
I'm with you. I tend to think the environment of Detroit, and it's not quite as aggressive, like you said, media market. But he's not going to win. Like I know that you're going to collect millions of dollars, and you're back in the managerial game. But look what the Indians and the Twins have going right now for the next 2 to 3 years. So are you going to wait 4 years? Like is Garden? They're going to get impatient and let him go at some point. If he has evolved, and there's a good chance. Having been let go from the Twins, and then the Twins moving into this more analytical, modern front office, and Paul Molitor is being deemed as more open-minded, and then working for Torrey Lovello as the bench coach.
Yep.
I think he probably soaked in something from Fangraphs or Baseball Prospectus, like, you know, something.
What do you think he read? Six pages? This is interesting stuff.
The reason I'm being hard on him is because I think it bothered me 3 or 4 years ago when Ron Gardenhire and Terry Ryan were just... They were very condescending toward, listen, we know what we're doing here.
Yep.
We have 25 scouts that are analytics guys. Like, look at the rest of the league, you guys. There's
this
a reason why you're falling behind, and they were so indignant. So I love Gardy, but I hope he's evolved.
This is why he has almost no chance to survive in that job long term. Al Avila, right? Their GM. He's an old school baseball guy. He's had that job since Dombrowski left. There is no way he's going to last probably more than 2 years now. He's going to get fired. That's the problem. Because if you look at how the Tigers are run right now, Phil, they are run very much circa 1997 probably.
That's an organization in flux. I mean, owner passed away,
well, they had
GM
a great
transition,
GM.
Dave Dombrowski.
If Ilitch passed away, Dombrowski basically said, let's start trading off our veteran parts to acquire young players. And he was told no, and so he quit.
Yep, so Gardy's back in the division. Twins get to face him, I don't know, 18 times or so starting in 2018. But I think it's going to be rough sledding for the Tigers next year. Let's come back here. We have Judd's Keys in about 20 minutes. Assuming that Dave Harrigan is the headline writer again this week.
Yes, he is.
Okay, and executive producer of the Keys segment.
Yes, he's taking over.
We have, write that down at 10 o'clock. Taj Gibson scheduled to join at 11 o'clock. And also, Game Show Friday. It's going to be a fun show here. Mackie and Judd live from just outside Target Center. We are in the Mayo Clinic Square Skyway area. If you're wandering around and looking for a couple ugly radio faces. Let's come back, though, talk some Vikings. We were very excited about a 5-0 Vikings team last year. This year's team is 4-2. And has a clear path, you would think, to the playoffs. Why will this year be different than last year going forward? Mackie and Judd.
Mackie and Judd are back.
They're ready to go.
It's a relief. It's like, okay, let's go.
On 1500 ESPN.
And this portion of Mackie and Judd is sponsored by Robert W. Baird & Company.
Mackie and Judd hanging out here in the Skyway. Just outside Target Center, Mayo Clinic Square area, we're staring at a giant Jack Lynx wall here, like the creepy Sasquatch guy.
Paul Black is afraid of this, which
I think it blinked at Paul earlier.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like Sasquatch.
Have you heard?
Bigfoot action? I have no problem with
an
that.
An inside Jack Lynx source this morning, I'm not kidding, an inside Jack Lynx source that I ran into in the Skyway informed me that there will be a Jack Lynx store, like a Jack Lynx store right here in the Skyway. And I said, so basically, people are just going to line up to eat jerky? Like,
right.
No, but apparently they're expanding to, like, breakfast sandwiches and things. I said, are we going to have cologne lines now? So if you want to smell like teriyaki jerky, you're going to be able to go into the Jack Lynx store downtown Minneapolis.
Lather up a little
bit. How many things can you put in a Jack Lynx store downtown Minneapolis?
So they're going to have breakfast sandwiches?
Apparently, yeah.
And, like, burgers maybe or something?
I don't know.
The Jack Lynx burger?
Like a jerky burger?
Oh.
I hope they have deodorant. I hope they have body wash. Don't you guys have a little...
A little
smoked jerky body wash for those camping trips up north?
That's a bad idea because if they have sandwiches too and you got confused and you bought the body wash and accidentally slapped it on your burger and ate it,
you're gonna squirt it like it's ketchup on your...
Well, you might get the burger and then you get the sauce and you don't know what to do and you like accidentally squirt it on there. Yeah, you put it on
okay,
like ketchup.
Bubble wrap, boy.
You put on. I'm just telling you. I'm just used to Jack Lynx being one thing.
I am too, but
that's all I'm saying. And
that's the next big
unveil. And the store's probably
here.
Right here, by the way.
It is. We're literally staring at it. Yes.
Since that's the place. All right.
Vikings this weekend. Vikings, they're I believe 4.5 or 5.5 point. I think it's like 5.5 point favorites against the Ravens this weekend. So here's the question, and you pose this offline, so you answer it first. We were very excited about the 5-0 Vikings last year. The words Super Bowl may have been connected together after their fifth game more than once on this radio show. And then they went 3-8 the rest of the way, and there was infighting and injuries and all kinds of stuff. So this team is 4-2, leading the division in prime playoff position. Why should we buy on this team when we should have sold on last year's 5-0 team?
And as I recall, we were very offended last year at the Ryder Cup when we were there because 538 came out. They were the first ones, I think, to sound the alarm on, and I want to say it was the Vikings and Ravens at the time.
Yes, and coincidentally, yes.
And they basically said, slow your roll, slow down. These teams aren't nearly as good as you think. And we spent several segments basically saying, what do you mean? They've won five games. They look fantastic. This defense is very good. So at 4-2, I will be quite a bit more cautious than I was last year. But here's if you're asking me right now, why do I believe this Vikings team going forward, especially with Rodgers out, can win the division? My feeling is this. If you don't suffer, obviously, injuries on the defense and in that secondary, this defense is going to be very good. What they need is to be kept off the field, at least for periods of time, by the offense. This offense, from a starting point of scheme and coaching, so I'm not even talking about the personnel you're deploying. I'm talking about how they're run, strikes me, and I might be wrong here at six games, as a lot more competent and a lot more well-run. And I think that in retrospect now, and the 5-0 start came before Norv left, clearly, I think in retrospect, what we didn't realize when we were having that conversation last year was the level of dissension, turmoil, and problems in that offense. When your offensive coordinator basically says, I'm done, and walks out, something's gone very wrong. And we didn't know that at the time, but that offense had so many problems, and that offensive line was so bad. And the fact was, I think there comes a point in time, Phil, where when your defense is on the field all of the time, it just starts to wear down. So my actual answer to you would be, I believe that this is different, not because of the defense. That was good last year. It's different because I have more faith in how this offense is being run.
So I agree that it's safer to have faith in this team than last year's team. And I'll point to this reason why 538 wrote that article. The Vikings were forcing turnovers defensively at a completely unsustainable rate the first five and even first six games of the year. They forced four turnovers against Carson Wentz and the Eagles and lost that game coming out of the bye. And if I remember that article correctly, they said, you're not going to keep forcing three turnovers per game to take away those possessions, to get that field position, and your offensive line is bottom of the barrel. So don't get used to the 5-0 standing. And I believe they wrote that after three games. It was a 3-0 start, and they wrote that article after three games.
Oh, was it only three games?
And then they went on to go 5-0 to start with. The Vikings turned opponents over 3-3, 3-2, 1, and 4 times to start the year. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that, is it possible for you to have a better turnover-forcing defense than the rest of the league? Of course it is. Like, we've seen that, the 85 Bears. Great defenses turn offenses over. Not at that rate. Not to the tune of, like, 50 turnovers in a full season. And that's the pace they were at. It wasn't sustainable. And so 538 was saying, once that regresses back to earth, once maybe you're only getting the one turnover per game or maybe two turnovers per game, is your offense good enough to march down the field 80 yards, 70 yards on a more regular basis? And I thought, like, I read the article and thought last year, okay, right, like, the offense is definitely not carrying this thing, but it's not going to be a 2 yards per carry running game all year. I mean, it's going to get better, right? And it really didn't. It was, I think,
no,
it wound up being 3 yards a carry in the run game.
And
obviously the passing game was not nearly the same construct as we see this year. So just, like, rambling point continued. I think I'm in agreement with you. This offense is much more legitimate and much more credible and much more sustainable. And the defense is performing in a yards per play allowed sort of way, instead of, like, oh, tipped pass in the air that you happen to pick off, right, and you can't rely on that. So, like, the things that you're relying on to win games are more sustainable this year than last year.
Now, does last year make me more cautious right now? Absolutely. I am not nearly as... We looked at that start last year, and I thought, this team is really, really good. And, you know, the first time I realized that something might be wrong, and I didn't acknowledge it, but it was the first time, was not till Houston, the fifth game. When they won that fifth game, the offensive line, and Clemmings in particular, not surprisingly, at left tackle was such a sieve that you said to yourself, he just face-planted. That can't be good. And
he swimming on the grass right now? What is he doing?
There was, honest to God, I'm not kidding you, there was a play I was watching, and he just sort of fell forward. And I said to myself, okay, I've seen guys get beat before. I saw McKinney get beat by Wooten when Favre got destroyed, but he got beat. Like, he just missed him. Okay, I'm used to that.
Yeah.
I've never seen a grown man before playing left tackle just sort of just fall down.
Yeah.
So that was the first time that I said to myself, well, that's weird. But you still thought to yourself, there's enough things in place. And the miscalculation I made about the defense was not that the defense would go bad. Now, against the run, they did have some problems. But the miscalculation I think I made was the offense is so bad, the defense has to play so much and be relied upon so much, it's not going to work. And so that's why I think from this offense, all you need is competence.
Yeah.
And the biggest difference and the most important thing is not, okay, you're throwing the ball downfield more, or you're able to run the ball more because your backs are better. The most important thing starts with the line. And this offensive line has been solid. Have they been spectacular? Probably not, but they've been solid. And your left tackle, you haven't, I don't think we've talked about Riley Reiff more than once or twice, maybe since the year started. And that's the most important thing. It's not that we have to praise him. It's that if people don't talk about him, it means he's doing his job.
Do you want to go real meat and potatoes right now? I've got an offensive line statistic for you.
Oh.
Like, roll up the sleeves and stick your arm down to the elbow into the mashed potatoes for this one.
A football?
Okay?
Hold on.
Football Outsiders tracks something called...
How high should I get my sleeve?
That's good enough, right there.
Do you want higher?
Nope, just don't be creepy.
Do you want to see more arm?
So, Football Outsiders... So disturbing. Judd pulling his arm. They have something called a power success percentage, meaning on third and fourth down with 2 yards to go or less. So when you're lining up and it's third down and two, and those are like game-changing plays because most of the time coaches are too big of pansies to go for it on fourth down, right? They'll just punt it away. Mm-hmm. Can you line up and get the 2 yards or the 1 yard on third down or fourth down? And what percentage of the time do you do that? Last year, the Vikings were 31st in the league, a 47% success rate. So, like, half the time, or more than half the time they were lining up, they were getting blown off the ball and not able to get that yard or two,
yep.
or the 5 inches it would take. So 47% success rate on third and fourth down, 2 yards to go or less. They're up in the mid-60s this year. That may not seem like a huge gain, but and it's kind of mid-pack in the NFL.
Yep.
Think about that, though. That might be an extra play per game,
mm-hmm.
or an extra drive that gets extended, or whatever, 2 plays per game. And it might wind up being an extra 3 points or something or 7 points.
Yes,
or it extends by another 4 plays. Your defense isn't tired. And so I just found that. I saw that from last year and thought, really? And also, if that's the case and you know you're that bad in those third and short situations, why keep lining up in week 15 after watching this for four months with Matt Asiata and 5 terrible offensive linemen?
Football is the one sport, and offenses especially, where you do get coaches that will bang their heads against the wall, and you finally say, why are you doing this? And they're always like, well, that's how I do it.
Right.
But think about the amount of times last year that they would do that, that they would be in third and one or fourth and one or third and goal at the half-inch line, and you said to yourself, they're going to give it to Asiata. He's going to get hit in the backfield, and he's going to get stopped at the line.
You know, the Kansas City Chiefs are at 92% this season in those situations.
How about that game last
night? That doesn't include last night. I don't know.
How about that game last night, by the way?
Hey, the first fun Thursday night game in 5 years, basically.
The end of that game was, what, 2 holding penalties? No, pass interference penalty on Oakland, right? And then 2 subsequent holding penalties on the Chiefs. And we finally got the Oakland touchdown, I think, on the 4th time they ran a play.
And what did Derek Carr wind up with, like 420 yards passing or something?
That was a fun game.
City,
it was
so.
A crazy game. But...
let's come back. Hey, Judd's Keys is going to make an early appearance on the show. Is Judd's Keys
awake? I'll have to wake him up. No,
hydrated?
No, he's sleeping. I'll get him up.
Let's go nudge Judd's Keys during the commercial break here. Mackey and Judd live from downtown Minneapolis, Mayo Clinic Square, for the Wolves home opener.
Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of like being at a singles bar.
Mackey and Judd on 1500 ESPN.
Well, you hear that? Sounds like we're ready to unlock a vault of knowledge bombs. Here comes Judd Zolgad's keys.
Judd's 5 keys to a Vikings victory over the Baltimore Ravens. That's an early start for Keys. We've done a couple of these 9:30 early starts.
They're never a good idea. He's always out at the bar watching the game the night before. And as you know, he drinks too many. He has
and that
too
game
many
took
beers.
A while last night,
He has
night
too,
too
many beers, and then you want him to come in and work, and he doesn't want to work, and there's always problems with
Keys. Well, good thing Keys is propped up by a great executive producer for this segment in Dave Harrigan. Dave writes the headlines and pretty much adds all of the necessary seasoning to what's likely to be a Salisbury steak. One of those frozen microwavable Salisbury steaks from Keys here.
Just throw it out.
Yep. So let's get started. Should we go key number one or key number five?
Let's go key number five.
All right.
Well,
key number five.
Let's go key number five. Headlines went a little bit of a different route this week. Headlines knows that when the Baltimore Ravens come to town, there's a lot of things that can go into that game, winning, losing, whatever. But there's really only one thing that matters. That's why key number five begins with a question.
Is Joe Flacco an elite quarterback?
I like it. I like it. And key number five answers that question by saying, well, absolutely not. Not this year, and that's why...
except for 1 3-week stretch and
that's
one postseason.
That's why Keys feels that the run game, the Ravens' run game, and more importantly, stopping that run game, is going to be paramount to if the Vikings can not only win this game, but cover that spread on Sunday. The Vikings' run defense, 6th in the league. The Ravens' running offense, 7th in the league. They've reached the 125-yard rushing mark 5 times in the past 6 games, Phil Mackey. And the key here will be that Linval Joseph and this run defense continues to be, do you know what they are? They are elite.
They're elite. We did ask P.J. Fleck, when P.J. Fleck took the job in January, we asked P.J. Fleck if he thought Joe Flacco was elite, and he did, but he's biased. He's biased because he thinks everything is elite.
Right. Well, and he said what? He said the one thing that wasn't elite during that appearance was Wisconsin, right?
And socks with sandals.
Okay, but besides that, everything was elite. And the answer to the question of key number five is no, Joe Flacco is not elite.
Key number four, Judd's keys to a Vikings victory.
Key number four tries to answer key number five's headline.
I think Joe Flacco is actually a very elite quarterback.
Was that Donald Trump?
It was.
Donald Trump Where did that come from?
Yeah, where'd you find that?
He was on the stump doing some speech, answering questions. I don't know.
I think Joe Flacco is actually a very elite quarterback.
So he's a very, he's not just elite, he's a very elite quarterback.
Everyone loves his eliteness. It's great eliteness.
Is he the most elite quarterback, or is he?
Do you know who else we would like to see be elite someday? Although I have questions. I have questions about whether this will ever happen. That would be Laquon Treadwell, because Stephon Diggs still has a groin injury, which kept him out of practice yesterday and very well could keep him out today. And if that's the case, he's going to miss a second consecutive game. Michael Floyd, I believe, now is on the injury report with a hamstring problem that very well could keep him out of Sunday, meaning opportunity will knock once again for Laquon Treadwell, who had 3 catches for 51 yards against the Packers, including that great one-handed grab. I've been very down on Laquon. But he's going to get a chance to prove that if he's not elite, he can at least be okay.
Yeah, just be average. Just be average and get Stephon Diggs back. Key number 3 to a Vikings win over the Ravens. Judge Keys.
And headline for key number 3 disagrees with headline for key number 4.
He's not even close to being elite.
Well, if that's the case, I would like to say that that is probably true talking about Laquon Treadwell. He's not close to being elite, so the question becomes if Floyd can't play, if Diggs can't play, and Treadwell is not anywhere near elite besides Thielen, where does the ball go? Let me give you this one, boys. Kyle Rudolph. The Ravens have given up 6 touchdowns to tight ends this season. Rudolph has 2 touchdown catches this season. He had 7 last year. Why not feature Kyle Rudolph in the passing game on Sunday, especially as a red zone threat?
Did you see Kyle Rudolph getting mad at Arif Hassan, a noted Vikings blogger on Twitter, for saying the Vikings should find some more athletic tight ends? And Rudolph like took offense to it and like shot back, look what happened the last time they searched for whatever, like, because that's worked out so many other times. And then did we do this on the show yesterday?
No,
was
no,
off
we
the
talked
air?
About off the air. Okay. Didn't we say
Bucky Hodges and or Michael Pruitt jumped in and said, you know, everyone's a hater.
You know what? Kyle Rudolph has
he can't jump over a phone book, but he's reliable in those little short
intermediate. Kyle Rudolph has a chance to up the touchdown receptions in this game, considering the Vikings receiver situation.
Yes. Key number 2, Judd's keys to a Vikings win over the Baltimore Football Ravens.
Headlines still butting heads. POTUS says he is elite. Shannon Sharp says Flacco not elite. Well, what say you, Stephen A., headline number 2?
We're going to have to recognize that he has arrived.
Yeah,
as one of the elite quarterbacks in this game.
Can I take what Stephen A. Smith said there, and can I twist it to be he has arrived as one of the elite defensive ends in this game?
Okay.
Everson Griffin. Now, the Ravens left tackle, a gentleman by the name of Ronnie Stanley, practiced in full yesterday, but he has some type of mouth injury that kept him out of practice a couple days ago. He's not going to clearly be playing at 100%.
That's a long ways away from the heart.
He can't trash talk because his mouth is hurting. So Everson is going to win the trash talking game on Sunday, and he's also going to win his matchup. Everson Griffin right now is tied for 4th in the National Football League with 7 sacks and remains one of Rick Spielman's prized picks, considering the Vikings got this guy in the 4th round, had every opportunity in his first 2 years to basically say, you don't get it. We're going to release you. They remained patient, and Everson Griffin has developed into an elite David Harrigan defensive end.
And actually, credit to the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Flacco, as bad as he's been this year, actually hasn't been sacked a lot. He was sacked 3 times against Chicago last week and 4 times against Pittsburgh, but otherwise it's mostly 1 or 2 sacks, and that's kind of it. So getting to Joe Flacco, not as easy as maybe it was getting to Brett Hundley last week as he hangs onto the ball. And key number 1 to a Vikings win over the Ravens.
We're still going back and forth, boys. Headline for key number 1 comes to us from YouTube via and I'm not kidding you, a random street corner preacher.
Do I think Joe Flacco is elite? No.
A random street corner preacher is the one with the final say here. So
correct.
He's not elite is what you're saying. Okay.
Well,
so
it's 2-2. It's tied. Nobody really knows yet.
So Trump said elite. Stephen A. Smith said not elite.
No, Stephen A. Smith said we're going to have to come to terms with the fact that he is elite.
Okay.
Yeah, Shannon Sharp and random disagree. Street corner preacher say not elite.
Street Corner Preacher is out on Flacco.
Yep.
And key number one says, I'm out on Flacco too. But that's good news for the Vikings. Joe Flacco has thrown 8 interceptions so far this season. The Vikings have picked off 7 passes so far in 2017. And that number will only go up on Sunday because an absolute key to this game will be a return to what we saw early last season, which will be Flacco turnovers will provide the offense either with very good field position and or give the defense an opportunity to score points because Street Corner Preacher is right. Joe Flacco, if he ever was elite, is no longer.
Yeah, I mean, this was, we should have, as we were going through the schedule before the season, saying, oh, look at the Vikings play a lot of top quarterbacks. And I think we said, there's only really 3 games in which they don't play a top quarterback. The Bears twice, and maybe the Rams with young Jared Goff. If we could amend that, Jared Goff is a tough out now in his second year.
Yep.
And Joe Flacco, to this point, unless he pops up and hits 3 deep passes out of nowhere, Joe Flacco, maybe one of the 3 worst quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
So those,
I don't know if he's like hurt. He's just sort of average.
He had a bad back going into training camp. He didn't play in 1 preseason game. So my guess is he's hurt. And my guess also is if Colin Kaepernick weren't being spurred by the whole league, that there's a very good chance that Colin Kaepernick would have been signed by Baltimore, and Colin Kaepernick very well might have been starting by now.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, you're probably correct.
Keys is done, by the way. He's going back to sleep. He's hungover. He's not feeling well. It was a big night. Chiefs and Raiders. He lost a lot of cash on that game. He's going back to sleep.
Is Keys glad now after a few weeks that he outsources the headlines on a weekly basis? Does Keys feel like he's losing control of his segment a little bit?
He liked it at first, but he's a control freak. And so the problem now, and he's panicked too, because he thinks his stuff is sort of weak, and he knows it, and he's lazy, and he's got a drinking problem.
I feel like,
and the headlines are so good that he feels like he's going to be replaced.
I feel like the Keys segment has evolved into a bowl of Lucky Charms, where the headlines are the marshmallows, and you're just kind of waiting to get through the other like grainy stuff to get to the next marshmallow.
Story of Keys' life.
Yep.
His self-esteem is at an all-time low right now. I hope you're happy. I hope all you people are happy.
Oh, man. We have Write That Down and an accountability session in about 15 minutes at the top of the hour. We will be joined by Taj Gibson in an hour and 15 minutes. Todd Furman will help us with our Vikings picks, as he always does, or our Vikings-Ravens pick and a bunch of other NFL picks at 11:15. And we're also going to have a couple guests on from the Timberwolves to help fill us in on what fans can expect and what everyone just kind of buzzing around Target Center can expect when they walk in for the first time, first home game since the renovation. Natural sunlight seems like a win. Hey, no more dark and clammy corridors.
No, place going to be fun to be in.
So that'll be fun. We'll get an update on that game show Friday. A lot going on here. Mackie and Judd, downtown Minneapolis, Mayo Clinic Square.
Mackie and Judd are back.
Are you ready to kick it up?
On 1500 ESPN.
Minnesota United FC is taking on San Jose this Sunday. You can catch it all right here on 1500 ESPN with the pre-match coverage at 2:30. Kickoff at 3 on 1500 ESPN. Don't forget, every Tuesday, you can catch the coach's reaction to everything Minnesota United. It's the Adrian Heath Show with Jamie Watson, Tuesdays at 6, presented by Heineken. Back out to Target Center, Mayo Clinic Square. It's Mackie and Judd.
Thank you, Dave Harrigan. We're hanging out here until 1 o'clock, and I don't know, we're giving away donuts here. In fact, maybe the creepiest line of the day was uttered by a random listener guy who came over about 3 minutes ago. So we got these Wolves donuts, these Long Johns with, like, Wolves sprinkles.
I'm posting a picture right now on
and it looks like edible jerseys. Yeah. And someone came over here and grabbed the Karl Anthony Towns donut and said, I'm going to put Karl Anthony Towns in my belly. But he, like, made eye contact with Judd when he did
it. It was very weird.
It was uncomfortable. Yeah.
So we got Karl Anthony Towns.
And then he winked at engineer Paul over here, too. I don't know what that was all about. But
so we've got Karl Anthony Towns, Jeff Teague, Taj Gibson donut, Jimmy Butler donut, and a Wiggins donut.
Oh, no love for Gorgie Jang, huh?
I was going to say, so if you could do your all-time favorite no-name type of just bad Wolves donuts, who would be your starting five?
There's not a big enough box for that box of donuts.
Who was the guy who bounced to the Knicks, and I think he was with the Clippers for a while? Alexei Shved, is that right?
Alexei Shved. He'd have to have a donut.
He would have a donut for me.
The change your face donut, it would be. I think Derek Williams would have to have a special donut. But it would actually be.
Two.
But the donut would actually be just outside the rim of the box because. It would probably, as the pastry chef was putting the donut in the box, he'd probably like clank it off the front of the rim of the box, and then it would fall off. Yeah,
I'd go old school.
Or he'd try to dunk it and it'd go off the back of the rim of the box. I could keep going.
I'd go old school. I'd go Scott Roth donut, Todd Murphy.
Wow.
Tony Campbell donut.
Felton Spencer.
Original Wolves time donuts, yes.
Pooh Richardson donut might be interesting. The Pooh donut.
No, let's stop there.
We got an email here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to warm up the vocal cords for this one. Email from Matt. It's a lengthy email here. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to read the whole second part. Or sing the whole second part.
Oh.
I might need your help and Dave's help for this one.
Oh, help us.
Matt emails, he grew up in Minnesota, lives in Tennessee, big fan of the show, thought he'd put his 2 cents in about Teddy Bridgewater. And he summarizes a clutch performance against the Bears in 2005 at TCF Bank Stadium. 4 touchdowns, ran for one, big game for Teddy, comes up in the clutch. On that note, Matt writes, I was messing around a couple days ago, and just for fun, I wrote this little ode to Teddy.
Okay.
He wrote a three-verse song about Teddy Bridgewater. It's called Ode to Teddy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to kind of like read rap it, right? I don't know like what the... He needs to send the melody, the sheet music, okay?
All right.
Teddy's back at practice, and he's coming off the pup. Thanks for stepping in, Keenum, but your time's almost up. Judd says his knee exploded. He may never be the same. Don't be so negative, Judd. We know Teddy's still got game. Mackey gave his top reasons to still believe in number 5. He knows how to keep our excitement about Teddy alive.
All Dave has to do is fire up Ode to Joy back in studio, and we can sing this.
Ode to Joy seems like a different melody.
Teddy's back at practice, and he's coming off the pup. Thanks for stepping up in Keenum, but your time is almost up.
Okay, you're right. It actually could work. In the playoffs when the temps were well below zero, the Purple needed someone to step up and be the hero. AP did what he does and put the ball on the ground. Teddy went back out there and turned things around. On the last drive of the game, he bumped it up a notch. But then Walsh came in and got himself on job watch.
Would you capitalize?
Dave, are you taking notes for songs by the U-Log?
This is really good.
Sure, he's got a funny sidearm delivery, but he's our ticket out of QB purgatory. Not sure if that rhymes, but this is still amazing.
Yeah, just keep going.
He's clutch on third down and in the fourth quarter. He's coming back, and he'll get our offense in order. Two Gloves is going to play. That's all I know. And with him, we've got a shot at the Super Bowl. Wow.
Bravo.
Yes.
Bravo. That's really
Listener
good.
Listener Matt from Tennessee.
Matt, fantastic work.
That is great.
You got a talent, Matt.
I think, Dave, we should put a melody behind that, or maybe even get Matt to guest star and collaborate on Songs by the U-Log Volume 3.
I'll talk to Songs, but I don't know if Songs is going to take any outside input, but we'll see.
Wow. Okay.
A writing credit, and for the first time ever, outside writing credit on Songs by the U-Log.
Outside writing credit.
Yeah. Dave wouldn't like that.
You know, sometimes if you feature other star artists, it can boost your fame and your popularity. So,
but songs write themselves. I don't know. I don't know if female or guy can hack it, but we'll see.
Do you have, without spilling all the beans, do you have any Songs by the U-Log Volume 3 updates for us, Dave, that you're comfortable sharing on the air?
Let's just say I've got a few in the hopper that have been written and are ready to be recorded, one of which will feature Phil Mackey in a very prominent role. Let's just say singing about your fondness for a certain Gopher football coach.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Harrigan and Zolgad providing background vocals.
Yeah. We might have to, maybe, would Pat be willing to guest star on the album? Could we get maybe a Royce and Mackey harmony going?
I've heard
Pat tug and pull.
It's possible. I've heard how Pat feels about Songs by the U-Log, so it might be difficult to convince the man.
But Pat is a walking embodiment of the Grinch, so of course he wouldn't like fun Christmas songs and parodies.
No, that's
if I have to hear one more of these songs.
If Royce ever showed up at work and said, you know what, I really enjoyed Songs by the Yule Log this year, I would know something's gone wrong.
You're telling me
I don't want him to change.
Of the 25 songs by the Yule Log, he doesn't have one that he thinks is kind of funny. Tracy Clays is coming to town. I mean, come on.
The whole idea.
That's gold.
The whole idea is stupid. You guys got 4 hours, and that's why you do it.
I understand that you're trying to kill segments because you do 4 hours.
Let's
a day.
Do Q&A.
Raj Minneapolis on Twitter, are there any Shane Heel donuts available? Do we have? And then Rand.
It's in boomerang shape, yes.
And then Rand wants a Randy Brewer pastry.
A Randy Brewer pastry.
Rand okay. V says, got any Randy Brewer pastries? I mean, people are like, come on. Can only do so much.
Man, Twitter's on fire right now. Don Stoner, loyal listener, tweets in, note to 1500 ESPN sales staff, Hazelden should be the new sponsor of Judd's Keys.
Hi, this is Judd's Keys. And I've had a long time battle, and I can't do the 930 keys anymore. But my friends at Hazelden will really take care of you.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's amazing. All right, let's come back. We've got a Write That Down segment. We have radio legends walking by us right now.
Care for a donut, sir? How much? Oh, they're free.
We already
for you?
We already
You're
had
a legend, Dave Lee. You go ahead and take
we already
one.
Had someone come by, take the Carl Anthony Towns donut, and say, I want Carl in my stomach, and
yeah,
walked away creepily.
Yeah, just don't. That's very scary. Yeah, so. Nice hat, by the way. I like the Wolves hat. That's nice. I'll get one, yeah.
Mackie and Judd back with Write That Down and an accountability session when we come back live at Mayo Clinic Square.